Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 17, Romans 2:17. The Bible says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Well, quite a rebuke there. It reminds me a lot of Matthew 23, and we'll go there after a little while. But so God's using Paul here to write the book of Romans, and so he's teaching us that we need to be genuine, honest, and not hypocrites. And so he's dealing with especially the Jewish leaders here. So we've looked at, in this passage, we looked at verse 17, the people of God can rest in the law. And then number two, we saw from verse 18, the people of God can rest in the will of God. And now number three today, the people of God must always be humble before God. And we pick up in verse 19 there, which we read, "And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law." You know, knowledge can be a good thing, and if it's the right knowledge, it is a good thing. But if we're not careful, knowledge can puff us up, can affect us wrongly. So if you go with me to Genesis 2:16. So knowledge can be a good thing or a bad thing. It depends on what kind of knowledge it is. We find many young people of college age go off to colleges and they... I watched one of my relatives go off to a university, and it just poisoned his heart against God. And they were growing marijuana in the dorms. It was so immoral. It was just horrible, and it just destroyed the boy is what it did. It was really, really sad. But in Genesis 2:16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So God called this tree the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many of you have personal knowledge of hitting your thumb or finger with a hammer? Okay. How many just relish and enjoy that you have that knowledge? No. There are some types of knowledge you wish you didn't have. And that's one of them. And there are many others. It's knowledge that doesn't help you. It only brings back bad memories. I don't know how we got on it yesterday, but when we were out witnessing, we were talking. I don't know if it was talking about ice or what, or broken bones. I don't know. But I was just telling him one time we were witnessing in Greenville many years ago, and everything was a glare ice. And so I was getting out of the car to go to a door and standing on glare ice. And so when I was swinging the door shut, I was trying not to lose my balance from pushing the door shut. So I did it carefully with my hand. And the problem is I didn't get my thumb out of the way. So I was carefully closing the door of the car with my thumb right in the crack. And so that was a personal knowledge I wish I didn't have. But so the rest of the day, it's throbbing. And that night, we had a sweetheart banquet down to a restaurant on Plainfield. It's gone many years. It's been gone. But it was called the Sweden House. It was a smorgasbord. And so we were going down that night for a sweetheart banquet. And I don't know if we went early. My wife probably remembers, but there was a doctor right near there. And so I ended up going over there. It almost seems like it was after the sweetheart banquet. But anyway, he took an x-ray of it, and he said it was fractured, but there was nothing to do. The place of the fracture, there was absolutely nothing to do for it. It was just fractured. And so I just had to put up with the pain. And so there are types of knowledge that it's better not to have, and that was one of them. And so with Adam and Eve here, God says, don't eat of this tree or you will have the knowledge of good and evil. You know, up to this point, all they had the knowledge of was good. And you know, the world tries to test us, doesn't it? You know, when we are raised in the ways of the Lord, the world tries us, just like Satan, the serpent with Eve, saying, hey, try this, try this. And so as we see in chapter 3 there, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, he's leaving off chapter 2, verse 17. So he only quoted part of what God said. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye what? Touch it, lest ye die. So Satan takes away from God's word, and Eve adds to it. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing what? Good and evil. Now that outwardly that sounds like, wow, that's great. Wouldn't it be grand to know good and evil? Wouldn't it be grand to be like, of course he said gods, but wouldn't it be grand to be like, great to be like gods? The thing is God doesn't know evil experientially. God knows all about evil. He knows everything that's going on, but he has never personally taken part in evil. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And outwardly, that may sound, wow, having the knowledge. You know, the world says, don't knock it until you've tried it. Well, you know what? Sometimes people try drugs and the very first time, they overdose and they die. That's not a knowledge that's desirable. So be as gods, knowing good and evil. No, there's no good memory. You know, if you hold your place here, turn to me to Luke 16. Luke 16. Why is it we take so many pictures? People tease me about that sometimes. Why do you want to go up to Mackinac Island and take another picture of the Mackinac Bridge? I don't know. You know, why do you take pictures when you go on a vacation? It's for memories, isn't it? It's memories later on. I can recall I had good intentions when our children were young and we took a trip to, let's see, we went to Niagara Falls, to the Statue of Liberty, and Washington, D.C., You may say, okay, how long would it take to do a trip like that? Niagara Falls, Statue of Liberty, and Washington, D.C. What would you say? A week? 2 weeks? A week? Okay. We did it in 3 days. We went to the Niagara Falls, saw part of that day. We went to the Statue of Liberty and saw part of that day, and went to Washington, D.C. and saw part of it the third day, and headed back home. But anyway, good intentions, but not much time. But anyway, it was a whirlwind trip. But on that, I come back with and got the pictures and put it in an album, and also I put a map. So I drew, you know, to Niagara Falls, and then the pictures of the falls, and then drew the next page, you know, on the map to Statue of Liberty, and all the pictures there, and drew the map to Washington, D.C., and the pictures there, and back home. And it was just so enjoyable to go back to that album and look at those pictures, to trace our route and to see, and it was just... And I wish I would have kept that up for our other trips, because it was just nice for memories to go back and look at that. But when we think of memories of the knowledge of good and evil, now there are some exceptions I've seen people do, but is it the norm to take pictures at a funeral? Is it the norm to take pictures of a loved one in a casket? Some do. If they want to do that, that's totally up to them. I'm not trying to knock it, but I'm just saying that's not the norm. It's not the normal thing. Normally, you do not want a picture of your loved one in a casket, the body. That's just not normal. That's not a memory you want to remember, because especially when our loved ones know the Lord, they're in heaven. And just seeing a dead body doesn't bring back warm feelings, okay? But in Luke 16, and if you go down to, let's see, verse 22, Luke 16, 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, what? Remember. Remember what? Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So we see here that people that go to hell, you know, far from ceasing to exist, they are fully conscious, feeling the torment of the flames, and having memory, full memory, not just of their own lives, but of others. Just imagine being in hell forever and ever and ever and ever, and remembering that there was a poor sick man that was laid at your gates, that just desired the crumbs from your table. And you never gave him a good meal. Did he get the crumbs? I don't know. It says he desired the crumbs from the rich man's table, but did he get the crumbs? Just imagine through all eternity, I didn't help that man. I was living in luxury. I could have easily fed that man 3 good meals a day. I could have easily clothed that man. I was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, it says in verse 19. Just think through all of eternity, rolling through your mind, I didn't help that man. But Lazarus knew the Lord and went to heaven. The rich man didn't and went to hell. Memories. You know, the older a person gets, the more memories seem to be in focus. I've noticed that over the years, that many times as people age, memories of many years gone by. Take it right in the assisted living homes. Many times those elderly people, as dementia begins to take over the mind, they'll begin to talk about their childhood. They'll begin to, oftentimes the elderly ladies will begin to put dolls in their wheelchairs with them. They'll begin to talk about their husbands who died many years ago. They'll talk about that. They'll talk about their fathers. I can recall one at Hathaway Hills was talking about her father and a tractor. And so those memories come back. It's like they're losing memories like of here and now. Like oftentimes they'll get to the point where they cannot even recognize their loved ones right now before them, but they remember things when they were a child, what their parents did, their siblings, their home. In recent history, we've had that same thing. Sometimes people lose track of where they're at, but can remember the old places, the old homesteads, memories. Now, you know, as a Christian, we rejoice that there's a wonderful place for us. Notice in Revelation chapter 21, we're looking forward to going to be with the Lord. A wonderful, wonderful place. In Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." We're looking forward to that one day. But I can't imagine, we were talking a little bit about this just yesterday when we were out witnessing. I can't imagine living right now without being a Christian. Can you? Can you imagine you've got Putin, you know, coming against Ukraine, you've got war, you've got all of Europe trying to, withhold finances from Russia. So the people of Russia, I was reading a news article online, and the people in Russia are making runs on the stores. They're buying up all the sugar. Believe it or not, they are also buying up all the toilet paper, you know, like the phenomena here. They're afraid of, because of Putin going into Ukraine and everything being cut off, they can't use their credit cards. They're not working now. And so they're going to the store and they're trying to stock up, and it's running their stores out of everything. And the government is telling them, there is no shortage on sugar. It's just that people are hoarding it. They're buying it all up. But can you imagine not being saved and seeing what's going on? The people of Ukraine suffering. China siding with Russia. And, you know, China wanting to do the same thing to Taiwan that Russia is doing to Ukraine. And can you just imagine not being saved and not knowing that all of these things were foretold in the scripture, that Russia is going to align with Iran and Ethiopia and other nations and come against Israel one day. I did a nursing home message to extended care just about not being troubled. And, you know, if we didn't know the Lord, it'd be so easy to be very troubled. But God told us these things were going to happen. And so as we think about this knowledge of good and evil, it's better not to have knowledge of evil, because those memories can come back and trouble us. So thankfully, when we know the Lord, let's go to Psalm 103. It's so wonderful to have the burden of sin removed. in Psalm 103 and verse 2, first of all, Psalm 103, 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what?
All his benefits.
All his benefits. Well, what are God's benefits? Heaven? Yes. But I mean right now. Verse 3, who forgiveth all what?
Thine iniquities.
Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. So in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You know, when we wrong someone, they may never forget it. And they may never let us forget that we've wronged them. But God truly does forgive. And then in verse 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed what?
Our transgressions
from us. Now, if God would have said, as far as the North Pole is from the South Pole, I've removed your transgressions. Well, granted, from where we are, the North Pole and the South Pole is quite a ways away. But there is a point. There is a North Pole and there is a South Pole. But he says, as far as the east is from the west. Where is the East Pole? There isn't one, is there? Where's the West Pole? There isn't one. So what are we talking about? Infinity. As far as the east is from the west. Now, people may call, you know, like the Far East, and we may be referred in America to being the West. But there is no West Pole. It's infinity, really. You can keep going east and never end. Now, if you're going the other way, you could go north, but when you got to the North Pole, you're going to reverse directions. Now you're going to go south. But going east, you can keep on going east. If you go west, you keep on going west. It never ends. And God has removed our sins that far from us. Notice in Psalm 51, Psalm chapter 51. This was a chapter that Sister Leah asked us to read to her many times. Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out what?
My transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is what?
Ever before me.
You see, in our minds, it's hard to forget. But God removes them as far as the east is from the west. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be what? Whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So, and back in Romans chapter 2, when it comes to memories, to knowledge, some types of knowledge are not desirable. So we don't want all kinds of knowledge. Knowledge can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what kind of knowledge we are acquiring and depending on how the knowledge affects us. Even the knowledge of good things, if we're not careful, can just go to our heads. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge." Knowledge what? Puffeth up. But charity edifieth. Edify means to build up. So in our lives, we have a choice. You know, when we gain some knowledge, it's real easy to be puffed up. Oftentimes, the freshman year of college, it's like, it's so easy to be so puffed up. You know, you're forced to read these thousands of pages of books, and you're hearing all these professors tell you these things. And whether it's the secular or the spiritual realm, it's so easy when we gain a little knowledge to be so puffed up and instead of built up. And so all that does is breed conceit and arrogance. But when we edify others, we build them up. And it says charity edifies. So that's love. Love edifies. So when we get filled with pride, it may puff us up, but it really doesn't build us up. It doesn't help us. And in the eyes of others, it really doesn't lift us up. What does pride do? Well, Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Actually, we are so foolish to ever be filled with pride because it seals our downfall is what it does. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. But with who? The lowly is wisdom. So when pride cometh, then cometh shame. The moment we get filled with pride, shame comes. And isn't it amazing? Just the littlest success. I can recall when I was in construction and you finish a project, in my mind comes vinyl siding. Vinyl siding, just when you put it on a house, just so, it's just that finishing touches and it looks so nice. And I can recall back then, you finish a job or a section and you stand back and boy, that looks nice. But you know, then the next section or the next house you do, maybe something wasn't quite level or something, and so it doesn't look so nice. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. And so when we think about that, we want to be humble. We want to be humble. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, much better to be humble. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, what's the first word?
Humble.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. So, when we lift up ourselves in pride, we can count on it, we're going to be brought to shame. But if we humble ourselves, that is when God can then lift us up. And that's why I've often said it, but let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. How do we keep ourselves out of that trap? Because when we get filled with pride, we set a trap for our own selves. Well, maybe you have some verses that help you in that area. These verses help me. In Proverbs 3, 5. Well, actually, let's back up to verse 4. It says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of who?
God and man."
God and man. So Now that sounds good. Finding favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. How can we do this? Well, verse 5, trust in who? The Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So it's like when we came today to church, we acknowledge one another. You know, we say hi. We greet each other by name. We acknowledge each other. And so with God, we should do that. So when I start a task of putting that siding on the house, how do I keep myself from becoming prideful if it looks nice? Well, starting the job, acknowledging God. Just telling him these two verses. Lord, I'm trusting in you with all my heart, and not leaning to my own understanding. Lord, verse 6, I acknowledge you that I need you to help me with this, because those types of projects we've done before, especially if we've done them hundreds or thousands of times, we're prone not to even ask God for help. And so in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So Lord, please help me in this task. And you know what I find then at the end of the task? I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm thanking God. Thank you, Lord, that it looks nice. It's not puffing me up with pride that it's a job well done. It's thank you, Lord. And this has also helped me with another verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Actually, we can back up to verse 17 because it's part of it, what we just saw. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what are we told to do?
Pray.
Pray without ceasing. In what?
Everything
give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Remember what we just saw? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now in everything give thanks. The first time I heard this verse a lot, just repeatedly, that a Christian kept saying this. Whatever happened, this Christian would kept saying, well, thank the Lord. And you know, that kind of gets old really fast when you're in the midst of trouble. And someone comes along and just says, well, thank the Lord. Well, that's easy to say from your shoes, but I'm the one in trouble. But you know what I found? I found I could do this. I could in everything give thanks if I started the task with in all things acknowledging him. I found myself being able to thank, verse 18, to thank God continually all day long, constantly. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just coming out on our road up to M57, if I make the mistake of not acknowledging God in all things and I come to this road and I see the long lines of traffic, do you know what's the first thing that comes to my mind? I didn't acknowledge God in all things. And look at this traffic. And so then I'll do it right then. Lord, I do acknowledge that I need your help. But if I'm smart and wise enough before I leave the house to acknowledge God, it's just amazing. Sometimes you come up to this road and it's clear each way. I mean, there's actually time to pull out because other times it's so hectic. So may the Lord help us. Just the littlest things in our lives can so fill us with pride and then brings us shame. So let's not be filled with pride over whatever knowledge we have in whatever field or even in the scriptures. Even in the scriptures, if we think we're filled with knowledge and puffed up, it's only going to bring shame in our fall. Not our fall from salvation, so don't misunderstand me. We cannot fall from salvation, but as Christians, we can sure fall flat on our face with all kinds of trouble we can get into. And so We need God's help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, please help us. Help us to be a humble people that you can then lift up and encourage. And Lord, we need your lifting up. We need your encouragement because we are such a frail and faulty people. Lord, we do acknowledge you now in this day. We acknowledge you and all that we have just read. Help us to be able to remember it. Help us to be able to remember it the rest of this day, to acknowledge you and everything and in all things. And Lord, as we start out our day tomorrow, if you give us another day, I pray we would start out acknowledging you, asking for your help, that we too, throughout the day, could be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May our lives glorify you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.